Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we do thank you for allowing us to come and to study your word and look at your truth, looking, dear Heavenly Father, that what you have to say to us about things that are to come. I ask, Father, for a blessing upon each one that's present tonight, blessing what they're eating, Father, and blessing their mind, as you, dear Heavenly Father, store in our minds the wisdom for the future. We ask that blessing in Jesus' name. Amen. Session number 5, the 7 biblical raptures. 7 biblical raptures. Now, as we go through the 7 biblical raptures, again, this is session number 5. It's that pretty lavender, or whatever that is. Is that lavender? Yep, purple lavender. Let me remind you, again, as we go through this study, a lot of individuals get confused on the rapture of the church and the end times, or the second coming of Christ. The rapture of the church takes place before the second coming of Christ. The rapture of the church is not the second coming. During the rapture of the church, Christ is in the air. He never sets foot on the ground, on earth. So we go to meet him in the air. I will keep reminding you of that because when you start thinking about it, folks talk about the rapture and all, and I said, yeah, when the Lord comes again. No, that's not the second coming. But we will learn all of this as we go through this study. And looking at the raptures of the church, I want to remind you again what rapture is. Rapture, the word itself, you will not find in Scripture. The word rapture, you will not find in Scripture. It is the taking away, or the instantaneous leaving, jerking out, the taking up. And anytime you see jerking out or taking up, then pay close attention to that. That's translated, that means rapture. So the word rapture means translated, means taken up, meaning yanked out, and all of this. So that's where it comes from. With these 7 raptures I'm talking about, as we go through this, the reason I wanted to bring this to you tonight, when we come back on April the 11th, I'm going to be focusing on the rapture of the church, and remembering, I will hit the rapture of the church tonight because that's the 7th. But I'm going to tell you about the judgment seat of Christ, because at the rapture of the church, it's when the judgment seat of Christ takes place for us, the Christians. You will also learn that the Old Testament, those folk of the Old Testament, are not raptured at the time the church age is. Jesus kept telling his disciples, you are so blessed, as he said, you know, to be with him, to get to see what they have seen. But he also said, oh, wait a minute. How much more blessed are those who believe and haven't seen? He's talking about the church age. That's us. How much more blessed are we going to be? Folks, as you will see through the raptures, through the focus that Christ has spent time just for us, the church, you're going to see what a blessing it is for us to be born in the era of the church age. God has blessed us so richly, and I cannot imagine why that we would have any gripes or arguments about anything that's going on with us. We are, of all people, should be the most happy, because of the grace that abounds. And as Paul said, and if there's not enough grace for you on that abounding, he said, God will give you grace on grace. Is that right, Brother Randy? Thank you. He does me that way on Sunday morning, doesn't he? All the time, absolutely. Okay, the 3 Old Testament raptures. There are 3 of them. Number 1, the Old Testament. The rapture of Enoch. The rapture of Enoch. Now, let's look at it. When Enoch was 65 years old, he became the father of Methuselah. After the birth of Methuselah, Enoch lived in close fellowship with God for another 300 years. And he had other sons and daughters. Enoch lived 365 years walking in close fellowship with God. Then, one day, he disappeared because God took him. That was a rapture. That was the taking up of Enoch, raptured in the Old Testament. Gary, would you look up in Scripture, look for Isaiah chapter 6, verse 5. I'll need that in a minute. Isaiah chapter 6, verse 5. Sorry, Gary, the other Gary. You safe on that one, weren't you? Woo, yeah. No, it was the other Gary. You're fine. I saw that he had the Bible. Hebrews 11, verse 5. It was by faith. Now, what we're doing now is looking in the New Testament again, showing us about Enoch being taken up. It was by faith that Enoch was taken up to heaven without dying. He disappeared because God took him. For before he was taken up, he was known as a person who pleased God. Now, in looking at the raptures, I want you to think of this. You and I are going to be raptured. Now, folks, the church age, we are going to be raptured. Either we're going to be going or we're going to be coming. But we are going to be involved in the rapture of the church. Now, why? Look what he said about Enoch. Enoch was raptured and taken up without dying because he pleased God. You and I, as Christians, you know what pleases God? Believing in Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son, accepting him as Lord and Savior. Therefore, just as Enoch and the others were raptured up, we too shall be a part of the rapture. So those of you who say, I didn't want to go on, I want to be a part of the rapture, you will be a part of the rapture. Some say, well, I don't want to die in the process. Let me tell you something. Don't sweat it, you won't. The Christian can't die. Now you're going to come right at that death door, and that body's going to separate from you. But folks, listen to me, upon the authority of God's word, there will not be a twinkling of an eye difference between you stepping out of that body and entering glory with Christ and that body hitting the dust. You got it? You will never ever die as a Christian. It's a promise. Number two, the second rapture that we find in the Old Testament. It was the rapture of Elijah. That's the one that most of us remember or talk about because we like the flaming chariot and the chariot of fire and all of that. You know, they might even write a book on the chariots of fire and all of that one of these days. Who knows? But we like to see that and to focus on it and listen to 2 Kings 2. 2 Kings 2, 1 and verse 11. Verse 1 and verse 11. When the Lord was about to take Elijah up to heaven in a whirlwind, Elijah and Elisha were on their way from Gilgal. As they were walking along and talking together, suddenly a chariot of fire and horses of fire appeared and separated the two men, and Elijah went up to heaven in a whirlwind. Now, let me go on and read. Elijah, the scripture says, will return before the tribulation period. So you'll hear me hit him later. Elijah will return before the tribulation period. How do I know that? Malachi 4:5. See, I will send you the prophet Elijah. He did not say he will send the spirit of Elijah here. He said that he will send the prophet Elijah himself here. Now, I will send the prophet Elijah before that great and dreadful day of the Lord comes. That's the tribulation period. The great and dreadful day of the Lord that you will always find in Scripture, that is the tribulation period. So right before the tribulation period, he said Elijah is going to come back. Now, Arlene, I know you're going to have a question here, especially on Enoch and Elijah. as far as the two witnesses at the end of the age. It is. But it was a decent theory, except for that. And what you had asked me about, let me explain it to you. At the end, time period during the reign of the Antichrist and all, two prophets appear. Two prophets of God appear, and they cannot be killed until God allows them to be killed. Many people had said that those two prophets would be Enoch and Elijah, or Elijah and that they would be the true prophets at the end time. The only problem with that train of thought was God said that Enoch would not see death. So it would cause the two prophets die. They die at the end of that period. They end up dying, yes. So therefore, but I have no problem at all understanding that two new prophets. The Lord doesn't have any trouble of sending prophets, folks. So that would be two new prophets. But I thought I'd answer that for you, because the reason I'd answered you one time before on that question. But this one was without dying. He went to heaven without dying. Now, and again, in the scripture, when we have that the Lord will send Elijah before that time, it wasn't Elijah as far as being one of the two prophets. It was Elijah for another reason. What is that reason? We'll look and see if there is a specific reason as we get to that area. But I think you will find it is, once again, see, God has given warnings throughout history since time began. I'm coming. This is my plan. Therefore, pay attention to it. I'm going to get to that scripture in a minute, Gary, so you keep your finger on it. The next one is the rapture. Number three is the rapture of Isaiah. Now, Randy and I discussed quite a bit. Randy Kidder. Randy's quite the historian in many ways. But one of our questions in dealing with this, especially with Isaiah, and why was it these particular six individuals picked for the rapture? What about John the Beloved? Was he not witness to what was going on in heaven and all of this? And so why would the great scholars tell us that these were the ones that were raptured? John the Beloved, it said, was raptured in the spirit. Well, what our question was, he and I agree with, whether it's physical or whether it's spiritual, I am a spiritual being. You're a spiritual being with a physical body. For me to be raptured as Paul was raptured spiritually, and then he finally said, I don't know whether it's physical or I don't know whether it's spiritual. I have no idea, but I can tell you this, he says, I was there. So why did they pick them? I think one of the main reasons is going to be that with these I knew were completely physical. And this was a emphasis on the idea that the church will have a physical taking up. It's not a spiritual taking up. Because many people want to say, and you'll see this as we study the pre, post, and all millennial type of theories of the thousand-year reign. But many people would say, then, well, it's only spiritual, because we're living in an age right now, and this is a spiritual type of an age. And they eliminate the physical completely. Christ never eliminated the physical. Did he not come physically? Yes. Yes. And everything that when he would pull these men out, he pulled them out physically? Okay. And that would give us a better emphasis on the church and it being a physical rapture of the church. Listen to Isaiah 6, verses 1 through 3. It was in the year King Uzziah died. Yeah. Isaiah would let you know that he knew what was going on at all times. And not only that, he wanted us to understand when things took place. And so when things took place, then he made sure that he had let us know. King Uzziah, it's the year he died, so there go. For go ahead and figure out what year that was that he died. And when you figure out the year that he died, then you will know exactly the time frame. So he wanted us to understand the time frame of his death. Now, if he wanted us to understand that time frame, you need to understand that he wanted us to understand that this was a physical event. This took place physically. It says, I saw the Lord. He was sitting on a lofty throne, and the train of his robe filled the temple. Well, people wanted to say, now wait a minute. That way he was on the throne of the temple on earth. Well, a problem there. The temple on earth didn't have a throne. This is a throne in heaven. This is a throne in heaven where he is seeing God. Now, attending him were mighty seraphim, each having six wings. With two wings they cover their face, with two they cover their feet, and with two they flew. They were called out to each other, holy, 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 calling out to each other, holy, holy, holy is the Lord of heaven's armies. The whole earth is filled with his glory. Now, his, again, Isaiah, was a physical rapture, him taken physically. I'm going to prove this with Isaiah 6, 6 through 7, but I want Gary to read Isaiah 6, verse 5 here, because I want you to understand how I know it was physical. Go ahead, Gary.
Then I said, woe is me, for I am ruined, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I live among a people of unclean lips, for my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts.
Okay, here's what he has done. I don't know why I didn't put that in there for you, but when I was studying again, I noticed I hadn't. Verse 5 says, he says, I am a man of unclean lips. Now, every one of us is Christians. You hear me preach it every Sunday morning that I cannot get it together, and neither can you. You know, I helped you out with that one. You can't get it together either. We as human beings, because of our human condition, we are human beings of unclean lips. So listen to this. He has just said this to God. Here God comes on the scene. Isaiah 6, 6 and 7. Then one of the seraphim flew to me with a burning coal he had taken from the altar with a pair of tongs. Number 7. He touched my lips. You got it? Physical. His lips were there. Why would you think that God sent his lips there and the rest of him stayed back on earth? No, his whole body was there. You got it? So therefore, we're dealing with God had the seraphim touch my lips with it and said, see, this coal has touched your lips. Now your guilt is removed and your sins are forgiven. Now, listen to me. What was going on here with Isaiah was, Isaiah did not feel that he could carry out God's ministry that God had called him to preach. Isaiah did not feel worthy to be the prophet of God. And God raptures him up to heaven, to his presence, sends the seraphim, says, let me show you something. As a burning fire. You see, that's what the Holy Spirit is in us as Christians. The burning fire. Jeremiah yelled at, oh, Lord, I am so overwhelmed. I have decided that I will not teach your word any longer, God. I had decided in my heart that I would no longer speak in your name. And then he goes on and he says, but your fire burned in me. Your spirit was in me like a burning flame, and I could not hold back. Oh, what a cry that he had in his heart. He says, I am not worthy, I will not speak. And yet he said, you're fire. That was Jeremiah. Isaiah is saying that he saw in heaven, and because of his concern about his human condition of being even worthy to proclaim God's word, that it was God who says with the fire. It happens to be Christ, folks. He happens to be the power that the Holy Spirit, the burning fire within us. He happens to be the one that has set us free. And even though we do not feel worthy, he says, Isaiah, you go ahead and you proclaim Thus saith the Lord thy God, because you are clean. See, you and I are made clean by the power of the Holy Spirit through Jesus Christ. Therefore, when you say, I don't feel worthy to preach, that's when God says, or worthy to teach, or worthy to even proclaim his truth. That's when God says, you're not, I am. Psst. Now you're worthy. You see, it's all in who he is, not in who we are. Okay. Here's the four New Testament raptures. The first in the New Testament, number four, is the rapture of Philip. Whoa! Oh, here's something to remember, and I think I wrote it in there for you. Philip is the only one of all that were raptured that didn't go to heaven. He didn't get raptured to heaven. He's the only one that was raptured. Remember, to be raptured is taken up and to move from one place to the other. It's to be moved from one place, not necessarily to heaven. What happened with Philip? Do you remember this? Let me read it to you. Some of you are looking at me, worried about me here. But let me read it to you. Acts 8, verses 39 and 40. When they came up out of the water, remember he was baptizing Ethiopian eunuch. They're down in the water. Oh, why can't I be baptized? He can. He said, there's water. Come on out. I'll go baptize you. He gets down. He baptizes the Ethiopian eunuch. And here they're coming out of the water. When they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord snatched Philip away. Woo! One of these days, folks, let me tell you, the Spirit of the Lord is going to snatch us away. And all of the trouble and trials and tribulations, you think you got nothing. The scripture tells me that what God has planned for us will make all the troubles, trials on planet Earth, that's nothing compared to what he has for us in glory. Therefore, shut up and quit griping about everything that's going on and enjoy your life. Thus saith the Lord thy God. Okay. Snatch Philip away. The eunuch, now listen to this one. The eunuch never saw him again, but went on his way rejoicing. Meanwhile, you got it ready? Philip found himself farther north. Actually, he was translated 20 miles north. It's about 20 miles north. Here he is coming up out of the water. He had finished the job that God had called him to do, baptizing the Ethiopian eunuch, and he was snatched away, or he was raptured from that spot 20 miles up the way. But I love this when in the New Living Translation, Philip found himself farther north at the town of Azotus, which was 20 miles away. He preached the good news there and in every town along the way until he came to Caesarea. Now, in that rapture, from one place to the other. Remember, when God has a task for any of us to do, time and place cannot interfere with the duty and the honor and the message God has given us to deliver. Picture this one. Let's say Philip already knew he was supposed to be 20 miles away. But Philip had to stop God commanding baptizing. Can't you imagine that one? You know, these horses can only go so fast. And I'm 20 miles back here and I'm going to stop and baptize. Now, this is, you know, my picturing of that. Can't you remember he's baptized and I can picture God saying, Philip, just do what I tell you. Isn't that like us? Lord, but you don't understand. You don't understand. You know, I'm on a time schedule here. Well, if it's God's time schedule, he'll keep you on schedule. So Philip comes up out of the water and zap, the scripture says he's gone. And he comes to himself 20 miles away instantly. I'd preach too, wouldn't you? Yeah, I'd preach. Oh, Lord, what else you want me to do? I'm a believer. If Philip had any doubts at all about who was in control during that rapture, those doubts soon left. Remember, Philip is the only one of the six who were raptured that was not raptured to heaven. He was raptured from one place to the other. Number five is the rapture of the Apostle Paul. Now, I want you to grab hold of this because This is where you all cannot figure why he would have a thorn in his side when Paul wasn't married. I never said that. I was saying that that's what. But is anything wrong with that train of thought? Paul was a member of the Sanhedrin. In order to be a member of the Sanhedrin, not only did you have to be married, you had to have children. We never hear of it. We never hear of his wife. We never hear of his children. But not only was he a Pharisee, he said, I'm a Pharisee of Pharisees. He was a member of the high court. And in order to be a member, you had to be married. And then you had to have children. But it was also Paul later on who said, I would that you would be like me without a wife. What in the world was that all about? What went there? Don't even get into it. That's so far above us, and that's been fought for years. Well, his wife got tired of putting up with him. I understand that. He's a preacher gone all the time. Okay. Number five, the rapture of Paul. 2 Corinthians 12, verses 2 through 10. You ready? I was caught up, and this is Paul speaking himself. I was caught up to the third heaven 14 years ago. Okay. The third heaven is the ultimate, that's heaven. That's where God is. If you want to know, the Greek and all, that is the house of God. That's where God is. The third heaven, 14 years. Whether I was in my body or out of my body, I don't know. Only God knows, yes. Only God knows whether I was in my body or outside my body. But I do know that I was caught up to paradise. Raptured to paradise. You got it? And heard things so astounding that they cannot be expressed in words. Things no human is allowed to tell. Now, Paul, John the Beloved, Isaiah, and the rest of them could not speak of what they saw. They said, there's no words that I can use. It's so amazing what I saw. And not only that, if there were words, I am not allowed to say. So how come all of these people we hear about in our generation that went up to heaven, come back and tell us what it looks like, write books and people buy them? Because if that took place with these people in our modern day, if they were translated up to see, then they would say it was too great to speak of. Meaning what they saw, you have no words to express. How would I know that? Every one of the prophets who were translated to heaven said that they could not speak. Even John was limited. The John the Revelator, the Gospel of John the Beloved. He was limited in what he could say even when he's talking. Why? Because we can't relate to it, folks. You can't relate to something you've never seen before. Well, your grandparents and your great-grandparents. Wouldn't it be something trying to explain a cell phone to them? I can't explain a cell phone to me. Myself, think of that. We're sitting in here and we pull out our laptops and we start typing away and hook up online and nothing, no wires hooked up or anything else. My grandfather, what am I talking about? They didn't even have a telephone. You think of that. And then the ones when they got one, it was a crank on the wall. Remember those? I remember those with the batteries. Whew, somebody's getting old in here, aren't they? Man alive. Okay. They cannot be expressed in words, things no human is allowed to tell. Okay. That experience, Paul is saying, is worth boasting about. But I'm not going to do it. You got to remember the human condition. The human condition, when you got something to boast about, and this is what Paul is doing. This is a perfect example of the human being. Paul says, that experience is worth boasting about, but I'm not going to do it. That in itself is boasting. I will boast only about my weakness. Now, if I wanted to boast, I would be no fool in doing so because I would be telling the truth. But I won't do it because I don't want anyone to give me credit beyond what they can see in my life or hear in my message. Even though I have received such wonderful revelations from God, so to keep me from becoming proud, I was given a thorn in my flesh. Look at what the thorn is. A messenger from Satan to torment me and keep me from becoming proud. God allowed a messenger of Satan. It was not a thorn in the flesh from God. God let Satan, whatever the weakness that he had. Many people say, well, it's a physical, he couldn't see very well because he used to say, see how large I'm writing these letters and all of this. Whether Satan used that or not, I don't know, but I do know the scripture says that it was a messenger from Satan, not from God. So God allowed him to keep him from becoming so proud. He allowed his failures of life to always confront him. His weaknesses were always right there in front of him to keep him humble. Had he conquered all the weaknesses of his human experience and human condition, he would become proud and not needed God. If that's the way human beings do it, folks. Even Paul would have. Three different times, he says, I begged the Lord to take it away. Each time, he said, my grace is all you need. My power works best in weakness. So now I am glad to boast about my weakness. If I can't boast about the other, I'll tell you, I'm tickled to death. I'm weak. That's what Paul is saying. So that the power of Christ can work through me. That's why I take pleasure in my weaknesses and in the insults, hardship, persecutions, and troubles that I suffer for Christ. For when I am weak, then I am strong. Okay. With that revelation to us, the rapture of the Apostle Paul was a direct rapture in the presence of God. Paul realized it and then realized that he would never be able to talk about it on planet Earth. And not only that, just to keep him straight, God would still allow Satan's angel to buffet him or bother him. Okay? Number six, the rapture of Jesus. Do you ever think about the rapture of Jesus? Wait a minute. Say it again.
It says in the Bible that Christ was first fruits. So that's why I always visualize Christ as being the first.
First, yes. First of the fruits of resurrection from the dead. All the other people that he resurrected, whether it was Lazarus or any of them, they died again. But Jesus never died again. See, he was the first from the dead, the first to be resurrected from the dead to never die again. All the rest of them that were resurrected from the dead died again. Okay? All right, the rapture of Jesus, Acts 1, 6 through 11. So when the apostles were with Jesus, they kept asking him, Lord, has the time come for you to free Israel and restore our kingdom? He replied, the Father alone has the authority to set those dates and times, and they are not for you to know. Everybody keeps wanting to know something that we can't even handle what we do know, okay? But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. And you will be my witnesses, telling people about me everywhere in Jerusalem, throughout Judea, in Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. After saying this, he was taken up into a cloud, translated, raptured in a cloud, while they were watching, and they could no longer see him. Now picture this. As they strained to see him rising into heaven. Now, he just told them, to get ready and go on and be about his business by taking the message. They are see him going up in the clouds. That's what you and I would do. You know, I can make fun of them all I want to, but that, what would you think I'll do? I'm going to be standing there and say, Larry, did you see that? Did you see that? There he is, right there, going up. And that's what they were doing. They strained to see him rising into heaven. Two white-robed men, these are angels, suddenly stood among them. Here's what they say. You know, the angels, throughout Scripture, you'll find they really have trouble with us human beings. Well, of all the blessings that we're given, you see, we're the only ones. They would love to have the opportunity we have, and they can't have them. Do you not know, folks, that you, as a saint of God, are going to judge the very angels we talk about today? The Scripture says we will judge the angels. You're going to learn that in this study, too. Okay, here's what they said, though. Men of Galilee, they said, why are you standing here staring into heaven? Okay, let me get that picture back for you. Again, the angels just heard Jesus tell them what to do. And when an angel was told what to do, zap, they were gone. They was done. The angels come and they're looking at these disciples standing there gazing in heaven like they didn't believe what they just saw or witnessed because of him. So they said, why are you standing here staring into heaven? Jesus had been taken from you into heaven. You know, they're sort of giving them, laying it out, one, two, three now. In case you didn't catch it, Jesus had been taken from you into heaven. But someday, now listen to this, he will return from heaven in the same way you saw him go. Woo! That's when he comes for the church. As they were staring into heaven to see him go, they said, one day you'll see him again. You'll see him just as you've seen him. And people said, well, that meant that they were going to see him then. Didn't have to. They will be with him coming back. If we go ahead and die today, we will be in the rapture with him and see him. Every Christian is going to see the Lord coming in the air. The non-believers on earth at this time will not see him. They will miss seeing Christ. They're not, not only that, this is happening in a twinkling of an eye, folks. All the graves are going to be open. All the saints gone out of the graves. I don't know what you're going to do if you're flying the plane and you're the pilot and the co-pilot's both Christian. Whoops. Woo. Yeah. Somebody's going to be in trouble, aren't they? Okay. Now look in Revelation 12, 3 through 5. Because this is what I want to bring out. Now, I'll explain something to you as I read this. Because this again is dealing with Christ. This is the revelation dealing with Christ. Then I witnessed in heaven another significant event. I saw a large red dragon with 7 heads, 10 horns. Anyway, we're talking about Satan here, okay? With 7 crowns on his heads. His tail swept away 1/3 of the stars in the sky. Remember, we know that there was 1/3 of the angels taken out of heaven with the fall, okay? And he threw them to the earth. I'm not sticking on this because we study this later. He stood in front of the woman. Okay, where you see woman, that's not Mary. That's Israel. That's the nation Israel. Woman here represents Israel, the nation, not Mary. Okay, stand in front of the woman as she was about to give birth. She's about to give birth. Israel as a nation is giving birth to the Savior, Jesus. The Messiah is coming, okay? Ready to devour her baby as soon as it was born. Remember what I told you last week? That during the birth of Christ, you remember when the angel came to the shepherd and the angel, because we have the pageants and all of this, and the angels, you know, as saying, talking to the shepherds and telling them that the Christ child has been born. And then the very next verse, you will find that the angels are the army of God then accompanied them. Protect the baby. Christ. God sent the whole heavenly group of angels to protect his human son that he had just allowed to be born on earth for us. Okay. She gave birth to a son who was to rule all nations with an iron rod. Well, that sounds like Jesus. That is Jesus. Got it? And her child was snatched away. Now, this is relating back to what I just read you in Acts. This is going back for the rapture that took place in the book of Acts here. With Jesus going in where he was snatched away into heaven, ascending up from the dragon, and was caught up to God and to his throne. So this is the Revelator reminding us of this is what took place with Jesus. Now, and Jesus was called up to the throne. You and I do not understand why. We do know from Scripture that God does send the angels, and yes, we are accompanied to heaven as Christians. We are accompanied by the angels into the presence of God. We do know, and you should remember, that there is a spiritual war going on, folks, that you and I can't see, but the Scripture tells us it is still raging. There is a spiritual war going on that we're not privy to. But how dangerous that world is, remember the atmosphere that we have to go through when we die. We are escorted by the angels of God. Why? I have no idea. But I do know that the Scripture says that we are. We're protected through that particular atmosphere. Even to the point that God sent Michael and all of the angels to watch after his own son as he's coming through. Why? I have no idea. It had to have been in the mind of God where he assigned that area to Satan, because Satan wouldn't even be here if God hadn't allowed him to be. You got that? So all of the other is far above us. So let's go to the seventh rapture, which is the rapture of the church. Someone once said, the fastest growing church in America, the fastest growing church in America is the church of the ignorant brethren. The fastest growing church in America is the church of the ignorant brethren. And I dare say a sistren also. The ignorant brethren, meaning the fastest growing church is a church that does not study or disciple the members of the church. I was not discipled as a child in the church. I was not told the things that I know are biblically correct today and that I learn. I was never told. Therefore, how could I learn if I wasn't told? How can you and I learn if the pastors of the churches won't teach it? If all of that we, it's not that, it's all we're interested in is leading people to Christ. Folks, it is to lead people to Christ, and I grew up, as I said this morning, in an age you lead them to Christ, you get them baptized, and then you drop them. That's it. You don't learn anymore. What many would learn is what they learned in their Sunday school class just from Sunday school lessons. But the pastor should have been teaching. As you'll learn on April the 11th, the percentage of prophecy within the Bible is 27%. How in the world could we leave 27% of the Bible out of our training as Christians? Yes, ma'am.
I was asked one time, was I raised in a Christian, by Christian parents?
Yes.
And you just were church all the time. I said, I was churched, but I didn't learn.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, I remember.
For a long time.
Yeah, and we didn't start learning until we realized there's more to this than what we know. And then we get in the Bible. But I said the very same thing to my mother one time and asking her. I said, Mom, why didn't you tell me these things? I mean, why didn't I? She said, Son, I didn't know them to tell you.
My parents didn't either.
Yeah, and that again goes back to the pastors. It goes back to those who are leading the flocks. Why aren't we telling? It's scriptural. I'm showing it to you here. It is scriptural, and it's important. It was important to Jesus. 27% of the Bible is full of it, and you leave that part out. Yeah, well, we don't want to do that because that's a messed up part that really gets me confused. Well, let me tell you something. I'm pretty well confused about a virgin birth, and I'm pretty well confused also about one person dying for my sins on the cross and all of us and him taking our guilt. I'm pretty confused on that one, but Brother, I believe it. Go ahead.
Brother Larry.
Yes.
How many churches, other than this one here, that they actually preach what's in the Bible? They get up there and hem-haw around and don't say anything.
We are in a difficult generation. And the difficultness of this generation is, well, I said that, but one of my friends, Lawrence Phipps, said, Larry, the first century church was the same type of generation. It was a generation to where they allowed paganism outside rule to come into the church. And everybody, it was one of those Rodney King deals. Why can't everybody just get along? Well, because we can't get along when there's right and wrong. You'll have to choose one or the other. Why it's not being done, I have no idea. I'm not even sure about our own denomination and why we're backing down from true scripture, that the priesthood of the believer and the security of the believer, once saved, always saved. Why are we backing off from that just because it offends some folk? If it wasn't biblical, why did you teach it to us to begin with? Okay. So I don't know the answer to that. Yes.
I've watched a lot of other pastors and preachers speak, and I think the problem is, and I won't name anyone specifically, but they're such martyrs, they sit on the fence. They're so afraid to make a decision because they don't want to politically correct and hurt somebody's feelings. But the bottom line is, if you don't know Christ is assault in the earth and died for our sins, you ain't going. And that's as simple, and that's the Bible talking. That's not me, that's not you, and we're so afraid to tell people what we're going to think. Well, you know what? Tough. It's time for some tough love. It's time for us to tell our brothers and sisters who are lost about the truth of Jesus Christ and let him take a hold.
A good preaching, son. Number 7, the rapture of the church. Listen to this. There are 3 passages in the Bible that best describe the rapture of the church. Now, with respect to the teaching of the first 6 raptures, there are also 3 main truths to keep in mind concerning the rapture of the church. That's why I told you about those 6. It's getting down to this. Truth number 1, the rapture of the church will literally happen. It is a literal rapture. I will teach it that way because I believe it that way. That it is the church physically going up. When we get into these different concepts and everything on the 11th, you'll see what I mean. There were people that says, well, it's just all a part of your imagination. Oh, and just like the guy that said, well, hell is a state of mind. And I said, yeah, it's a state of mind and also a state. It's both. It's physical and it's a state of mind, because your state of mind is going to really be screwed up big time when you hit that state called hell. Okay. Truth number 2, the rapture of the church will involve the transfer of people from one place to another. That's what I was showing you. With Philip, it was from one location on earth to another. For the rapture of the church, it is from earth to heaven. From earth to heaven. Truth number 3, the rapture of the church will happen instantaneous. Remember, you gotta have a little heart there for Philip. You know, we have no scripture that says Philip was expecting that. Come on. Imagine him coming up talking to the Ethiopian eunuch, said, you know, I'm so proud that you had you accepted Christ, and stop, he's gone. You know, I just have a heart for him, because I can imagine me or one of us, you know, just talking up a storm, and all of a sudden we're 20 miles away thinking, I hope nobody saw that. I hope nobody heard what I was saying, talking to myself like that. Listen to 1 Thessalonians 4, verses 13 through 18. You ready? And now, dear brothers and sisters, we want you to know what will happen to the believers. Woo! If you were in the old English, you'd say, we would not want you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning those who have fallen asleep. Okay, let's do it, but I want to do it in modern language. And now, dear brothers and sisters, we want you to know that what will happen to the believers who have died, so you will not grieve like people who have no hope. Whew. For since we believe that Jesus died and was raised to life again, we also believe that when Jesus returns, God will bring back with him the believers who have died. Woo! those believers who have died, they only died bodily, physically. When they come in the sky, not only will you recognize them, folks, as you go to meet them, you're going to go shouting. If you have never shouted, you'll be shouting that day. Now, picture this. You're watching the dead in Christ. You're going to see this in a minute. You're watching the graves open, all these people gone. All this is gone in the twinkling of an eye, and then you're right behind them. Woo! Tell me they ain't going to be. No wonder the trumpets are blowing. Okay, let me calm down here. We tell you this directly from the Lord. Said, this isn't something we've heard. Now, listen to this. We tell you this directly from the Lord. We who are still living when the Lord returns will not meet him ahead of those who have died. Ha, ha, ha. Paula, remember when you said that you wanted to be in the rapture, you want to be first, you want to be there and everything? Well, you can't be until you're dead. The dead ones are going to beat you. So you need to go ahead and die first. That's okay, Paul. For the Lord himself will come down from heaven with a commanding shout. When the Lord shouts, and not everybody's not going to say, oh, who said that? Who did that? I'll never forget a preacher. I got time for this. Preacher was preaching in revival, and I mean, oh, he was getting there. Woo, praise the Lord, you know, and he was preaching up a storm. He was preaching the word of God, and this lady out there, she got excited over hearing the word. And she said, praise the Lord, preacher. And the preacher stopped, and he cleared his throat, and he went back to preaching the word, she got all excited again, and she said, hallelujah, preacher. And he stopped and cleared his throat again and looked at her, sort of strange, and he got back. He'd lost his place that time. He's got back to his running, and he's reading that word, and the word hit her again. She said, oh, praise the Lord. Thank you, Lord. And he said, lady, look, you're disrupting the message. And she said, but pastor, I'm sorry. I just got the Holy Spirit excitement inside of me. He said, lady, I don't care what you got. You didn't get it here. So that's what we have to watch. When the word gets you excited and you say hallelujah, they won't anybody be looking saying, who said that on that time, remember? And with the voice of the archangel and with the trumpet call of God, first the Christians who have died will rise from their graves. Then, together with them, we who are still alive and remain on the earth will be caught up in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. Now listen to this. Then we will be with the Lord forever. No, you will not be kicked out of heaven for some mistake you're going to make. It's not scriptural. When you're there, you're there, people. So encourage each other with these words. Do you know what he's saying? Encourage each other with the process of dying. Hey, Larry, Pete, you're going to die. Woo, praise the Lord. When are you going to be? Pretty soon? Think of that. Now, listen to John 14, verses 1 through 4. These are the three scriptures that deal with the rapture of the church. Don't let your hearts be troubled. This is Jesus speaking. Trust in God and trust also in me. There is more than enough room in my Father's house. Old English will say, in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. Let me read it in English. If this were not so, would I have told you that I am going to prepare a place for you? When everything is ready, I will come and get you. Or get you. I like get you better. So that you will always, how long? Always be with me where I am. And you know the way to where I am going. Remember what Philip said at that statement? Well, Lord, how do we know the way? Philip, have you been with me for so long that you don't understand? Those disciples, God bless them, they're just like us. Their heads were so hard. They watched so many miracles, and they still said, standing there saying, duh. And here they were, you know, the Lord said, boys, I'm going, you all go do this. What are they doing? Ah, got their mouth wide open. 1 Corinthians 15, verses 50 through 58. What I am saying, dear brothers and sisters, it is that our physical bodies cannot inherit the kingdom of God. Now, folks, if you ever wondered why, you have to die. Because our physical bodies cannot inherit the kingdom of God. I've got a promise direct from God that I get an inheritance of eternal life in heaven. I have a home in glory land that outshines the sun. Woo! There's going to be a song about that one day too. And that home is a direct promise from God. But I can't get it in this physical body. So therefore, God's going to bless me and pull me out of this body. And the body's going to go back to the dust from whence it came. And God's going to come back one day and put me all back together again. Better than ever. New and improved. Okay. These dying bodies cannot inherit what will last forever. But let me reveal to you a wonderful secret. We will not all die, but we will all be transformed. It will happen in a moment, in the blink of an eye, when the last trumpet is blown. When you see the last trumpet blown here, that is not the last trumpet that is blown in heaven. That is not the last trumpet of God. That's the last trumpet that is blown calling us home. That's the final call for us going home. You'll see more trumpets later, okay? For when the trumpet sounds, those who have died will be raised to live forever. See, when the Lord's coming, that Gabriel and that trumpet, whoo-wee, trumpet blowing, dead arising. People that are left here on earth are looking and wondering, maybe there was something to this Jesus. For when the trumpet sounds, those who have died will be raised to live forever. And we who are living will also be transformed. For our dying bodies must be transformed into bodies that will never die. Our mortal bodies must be transformed into immortal bodies. Then when our dying bodies have been transformed into bodies that will never die, this scripture will be fulfilled. Death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is your victory? O death, where is your sting? For sin is the sting that results in death, and the law gives sin its power. You and I are not under the law. You're under grace. You're not under the law. The law can only kill. But thank God he gives us victory over sin and death through our Lord Jesus Christ. So my dear brothers and sisters, be strong and immovable. Always work enthusiastically for the Lord. And then, like an after statement. For you know that nothing you do for the Lord is ever useless. Think of that, folks. You see, that's what the rapture is about. On the 11th, I'm going to talk to you about the judgment seat of Christ and the Christians in that judgment seat.